Welcome to episode 18 of the Second Shift podcast, a Brit heavy look at the world of wrestling. As always, quite a full show this week, including another of our special guests from the allwrestling.com week in review. So without further ado, let's find out who we have with us. Firstly, the WIR's Mr. Money in the Bank. He may be small, but he has a deadly bite. Just ask the cookies he bakes each day. Wayne is a baker.
I've just got to say, I'm not fucking happy, legend. Do
you want to know why? What's wrong?
Brie Bella stole my car and crashed it. Fucking bitch.
Bitch. Yeah, she's been doing that to a lot of people, it seems.
But you never told anyone.
Nope. Until now.
Next up, a resident D&B specialist. Nobody knows more about Dandelion and Burdock than Ant the Vigilante.
Very good, very good. We're 18. We're as old as H. Brilliant. Let's talk wrestling.
Yeah. Next up, hopefully he's been at the toilet and has put aside his porn for 5 minutes. Well, at least long enough to get through this intro. A.H. Walker.
I'm still pulling my pants back up. I've just finished.
That's nice for you. As long
you're
as you're
welcome, dear.
As long as you're finished, it's all good.
Yeah, man. Tissues everywhere. Happy to
great.
Be.
Good. And now before we introduce the next guest, we spared no expense, sorting out a little gift for her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, John Cena. Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy
my God.
Birthday. Welcome, Rue.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just great.
Good, good. Welcome to the show. It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think it's your third visit to the show, isn't it?
It is.
So hopefully you're all loaded with lots of wrestling conversation for us. Last but certainly not least, he's a four-time former WIR main event, only recently bumped from that spot by our very own Gypsy H. He's one half of the Spanish announce table, which you can find on the Trending Topics Network. Tonight, he's not tweeting tables. Instead, he's going to sit at hours like a respectable adult, remembering not to put his elbows on said table. He is Captain Awesome.
Ooh, that respectable adult stuff's going to be hard. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. All this European accents reminds me like I'm back over in Europe in a pub here, and I can barely understand half of you, but I'm going to work through it.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
All right.
And as far as, you know, the respectable adult stuff, Walker will soon put enough peer pressure to bring you down to his level.
Right, yeah. Well, I'll be above that. I'm sure I can cover that. I got the curve.
Yeah, it's not difficult to be above that level, let's be honest.
Yeah, you barely.
Actually don't love me.
That's why we keep having you back, Walker.
Hey, thanks for the former comment, by the way.
Yeah, we've got to look after our own.
Right.
Although he's actually disappointed he couldn't be with us this week. Because
I was
going to
say, he's
just
scared and embarrassed, didn't he? That's why he's run off, because awesome.
There would be non-stop violence if they were both on the show. It'd just be an hour of just these two talking shit to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I took your title. No, you didn't, bitch.
Well, let's use this as an actual segue into our first section of the show then. Let's go straight into the emails, because we do have one from the Gypsy himself. And his email says, "All right, shifters. Sorry I couldn't piss all over your show this week, but it's moving time for uni, so I'm absent for the next few weeks. I do want your opinions on a wrestling topic, though, and unfortunately, it's not overly positive. Last week, I complained that WWE went with the decision to switch the main event to a six-man tag, and that it felt very Teddy Long era SmackDown. I don't have any interest in six-man tag matches that are thrown together with no rhyme or reason like last night. People get lost in the shuffle like Jericho last night as the focus was on Cena. I felt that if they wanted to show Cena's dominance, they could have booked a six-man elimination, every man for himself, a battle royal, or maybe even a singles match. Remember those? Am I being too harsh, or are you guys as bored by these six-man tags as I am? Have a great show, guys. Can't wait to listen to this two-hour marathon of Trevor McDonald gags. Gypsy gone." So, six-man tag team matches is the subject. I'm going to come to you, Rue, to kick things off, ladies first and all that. Do you have a problem with six-man tags? What are your thoughts?
No, I don't, actually. But from what I heard on WR, what Dan said, what Cena did with Roman, I think he's right. Like, he should have just turned around and punched him or something.
Mm. But do you think they're using too many of these six-man tag matches even now?
No.
Is that your dog?
Yeah, sorry about that. Oh, she's crazy. But yeah, I really have no problem with it happening on Raw. It was just it kind of was thrown together, but it was kind of needed in the same point.
Right. Okay. Captain Austin, what are your thoughts on it, especially with it happening 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, we talked about this quite a bit on the Spanish announce table last night, and it's just does to me it's overdone. It's not special when you do it all the time. And it's reminiscent of there was a big debate also on the brand split, and to me that's reminiscent of when they did the brand split was we feel we've got to put so many guys on TV that we don't have enough segments for them. So let's just throw them all in. Well, now I don't care. Like there was, you know, there's just no reason to have this many. And I hate when it's, well, let's throw all the faces and all the heels on one side. That would never happen, especially with heels. Like the heels don't like anybody. Follow me?
And it happened. We had 2 six-mans last night. Well, we had the 6 diva and 6-man as well. So it's double duty on those 6-mans, which is overkill still. I'm going to come to Wayne. What are your thoughts on these 6-mans? Should they be ditched forever?
No, not unless there's an actual point to them, like when the Shield Wyatt feud was happening and Team Hell No and Undertaker and stuff like that, perfectly fine. But when us just combine two rivalries and stick them in as a main event and nothing gets progressed and it's just a blag another week, I feel like that bores the hell out of me, to be honest, and I don't achieve anything.
Yeah, as you say, with the Wyatt, when you've got three people in a faction, then it makes perfect sense. Totally understand that. But when you're bringing one guy from this match and another guy from another match, putting them together with a third guy from a different match again, and you're just cobbling it all together, it just has no rhyme or reason and bores everyone.
It's just lazy, boring booking, and I hate when you get a really good match and one-on-one match, really good, enjoying it. This is usually Teddy Long off SmackDown syndrome, and then you get a screwy finish, and then it goes into a 6-match, and you got to watch the same match again, but with more people. That annoys me as well, and that happens far too often.
Absolutely. Now, Walker, he goes on to say that maybe they could have done a 6-man elimination match or a battle royal or maybe even singles match or three. What would you have done in that case?
I just wouldn't have put the 6-man tag team match in the main event. Like, if you put a 6-man tag team match in the main event, then it's very, very apparent what's going to go down. It's just going to be your generic tag team match, and the face will always win, and it's just boring. So, like, what I would have done is just keep it as, like, Jericho versus Randy Orton, and then everyone comes in as a run-in, and then there's just a brawl to end the show as opposed to an actual match. Maybe that could have been better, but who knows? But it's bullshit.
And what do you think of what Walker suggested there?
Yeah, it's pretty bang on. I want to say to Kai, thanks for literally pissing on one of my one downs this week. Hashtag thinks he's better than us. But Captain Awesome pretty much hit the nail on the head. It's just getting everyone on the show. It's just, we've got so many segments on the show. We need to get everyone involved. And I don't know why. I don't know why Chris Jericho had to be there. You know, should have been a tag match at least, 2-on-2.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to Captain Awesome. Captain Awesome, do you think this is an argument for maybe going back to a brand split?
You know, I don't mind a brand split, but I don't think we're going to see it because they're cutting costs and that just increases the cost. I don't understand how they went to 3 hours, but yet now we have to cram everybody into 6-man matches. That just doesn't make sense. I feel like there should be enough for the one show. But to me, SmackDown is kind of pointless if you don't have the brand split anymore because it's just, as T-Mac loves to call it, Diet Raw. So I guess I wouldn't mind it, but I don't hold out any faith that we'll see it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, certainly I agree with you. SmackDown had a lot more value with the brand split. You had two different sets of content going on, different storylines, and obviously there was various bits of interaction. Wayne, I'm going to come back to you lastly just to finish off this conversation for Kai. What would you have done rather than have the 6-man?
Anything, progressed the story with Lesnar or something, had another recorded Lesnar segment from when he was there a couple of weeks ago, anything but this pointless one-night storyline, because you get Triple H threatening to take his title shot away from him, but you know you're not going to hear anything more of that over the next 2 weeks. That's just going to be just that one-off Raw story, and that's just really pointless for me.
Yeah, totally agree. I think we're all kind of agreeing that the 6-mans are a bit played out at the moment, and we need to start finding some better way to put these over. And it's the same with different things that WWE are doing these days, all the different run-ins and distractions going on in matches. They'd certainly to have a think about what the creative team are doing in terms of creativity for these matches. Okay then, H, I hope that answers your question for you. We all seem to agree with you, so we'll catch you hopefully in the show in a few weeks' time. Going to move on to our second email, and we're going to go to Australia, to the Cock, the Chief of Callers, and he says, hello boys, how are we all? So the Intercontinental Championship is celebrating its 35th birthday soon. On September the 1st, 1979, I must have written this last week, the championship was established. That being said, who out of all the previous champions was your favourite? Also, when do you think the title reached its highest point? Great show last week. Lots of love. Cock, I'm going to start with you, Ant. Your favourite intercontinental champion of all time?
Ultimate Warrior, done. And that was that is also the point when it was it become the most relevant, because when he held the world and the Intercontinental at the same time. So my vote, easy one for me, Ultimate Warrior.
Okay, A.H. Walker, your favourite Intercontinental champion?
Triple H when he beat Jeff Hardy in 2001, because they was doing the power trip with Stone Cold at the time. So, and I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, Triple H.
And when do you think the championship was at its highest point?
When they took it off TV. Okay. I think when Cody Rhodes brought it back, it brought back the old design. So it got a lot of it got a lot of attention, got a lot of hype, and it kind of added to his push at the time, maybe.
Right. Okay. Thank you for your comments on that, Wayne.
Probably Shawn Michaels, because when I was getting into the wrestling product early mid 90s, that was Michaels Razor Ramon. My brother was the Razor Ramon mark, and I was the Shawn Michaels mark. So when I think Intercontinental title, I automatically think either one of them two and that. And
just to clarify, is he your big brother?
Yeah,
can't be much smaller. Let's be fair.
Oh, shut up! He's actually nearly the same. But yeah, I've just got Joe.
Only kidding. So I mean, where was its highest point for you?
When it was on top of the ladder. Hey!
Hey!
Boom. Oh my god.
Okay, in terms of its popularity and its, you know, prominence in terms of WWE storylines, WWF storylines at the time, when was its most popular point for you?
Oh, I love the fact you actually had to explain it to our knob again. I'd probably say the New Gen era. Probably with like Bret Hart and stuff like that winning it. That just seemed like that was actually a title that everyone, you had to go through like the Intercontinental to get to the next step, and that actually made it really worthwhile. It actually feuds for it and stuff, where now it's just like, oh, I've dropped off a bit, oh, here's a belt to shut you up for, you know, just to try and keep you relevant, where that weren't the point back then. You actually had to get yourself going for the Intercontinental.
Great, thank you very much. Captain Awesome, your favorite Intercontinental champion of all time?
So I was trying to think. I'm really partial to Ravishing Rick Rude, did great with it, and Mr. Perfect. I always loved Mr. Perfect. I always liked that the Warrior had different colored straps. They matched whatever he was wearing. I was just thought that was neat. But man, I'm also leaning, I just now thought of it, when Santino was doing the honk-a-meter. That just, like, I can't think of a time where I enjoyed the IC title more. It put more of a smile on my face.
I have to say,
when Santino was doing that,
I was going to wait till you're finished. I was going to say, is no one going to see Santino? That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
All the honky tonk man.
The honky tonk man, absolutely.
He's held it for longer than anyone else in history.
Yeah.
What a reign that was. And of course, can't forget Pat Patterson. So when was it its highest point for you then, Captain? What, Wayne?
No, yeah, I was going to say I'll hide from Pat Patterson, but
awesome.
No, I think it's kind of inarguable that its highest prominence was the Warrior, because of the whole title versus title Hulk Hogan thing. I mean, that's when it probably had the most eyes on it. But you know, beyond that, you know, the new generation, as somebody said earlier, there was probably when it was the most, you know, prestigious outside of that. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get totally what you're saying. I'm just going to throw into the mix, SummerSlam 92 was a very good point for that as well. Rue, your favourite Intercontinental champion?
I've had to think about this all day because it was mentioned on the WIR, but I have to probably go with China, cause, just because she was the first female to ever hold it.
In that case, so she's, when would you say the prominence was at its highest then?
I'd say probably between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, because it was the fighting for undisputed title then, wasn't it, in that ladder match, wasn't it?
All right, okay. So, Cock, I hope that's kind of a good selection of Intercontinental champions there for you. And you could have let us know yours. Maybe you can let us know in time for next week who your favourite Intercontinental champion was. And if anybody else wants to contribute theirs, please email us secondshiftpod@gmail.com or send us a tweet at secondshiftpod. We have one more contributor for this week, and we're going to jump to the audio contribution from DRG. Let's see what he's got to say for himself this week.
Sup, two Essers. I'm going to do my best to try to keep it as short as possible this week, which is saying a lot for somebody that talks as much as I do. First off, this creepy bastard Samuel Shaw back. I'm really, really excited, and I hope so, because I think that this guy has a potential psychopath. So what feud could lead him to get to that psychopath status?
So pause that right there. So we're talking about Samuel Shaw and getting him to that psychopath status. Walker, who could he have a feud with to get him to that position?
Well, what he could do is choke Gunnar out and then start dry humping his unconscious body. That will go for it.
Would you consider that PG-14?
Go for it. Well, it seems pretty fucking gay, but it's as close as creepy you're going to get after like breaking his character down the first time, way. So we'll see.
Okay, Captain Awesome, what would you do with Shaw to get him to that position?
First of all, I love Samuel Shaw as the creepy bastard.
Yeah.
I think you've got to find somebody that would play well against the character. And I think Bobby Roode in a face capacity would do well because he would just be creeped out, weirded out. And, you know, he's got facial expressions and body mannerisms that would sell that well. I think even, you know, even Magnus in a similar situation, but Magnus isn't at that point right now. So my vote right now would be easy, would book him somehow with Bobby Roode.
But Rude's certainly an interesting choice, and I think also Rude would be quite good at doing some of the antagonizing to help develop that psychopath character as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to jump to Wayne. Sam Shaw, who would you put him with?
Anyone that isn't fucking Anderson. He's just too fucking loud and annoying, weren't he? It was just like, I thought he was the one with the mental issues rather than Sam Shaw, but no, interested that they chose Gunnar. I thought they were going to leave that off for a while. I thought it'd be someone else first, and Gunnar just don't see it. But no, I just love the character, and I thought in like a cringe way, because just him when he dressed up in that like army uniform, it just makes you sick. Oh god. So
yeah. Okay, thank you for that. Ant, who would you pair Sam Shaw with in a feud?
See, I've talked to Dustin about this before, and because I've only been watching TNA for like 5 weeks now, I still don't get it. I don't get the backstory. I don't get anything about the story. So when I watch TNA, I'm trying to jump in on something that's been happening for months down the line, and I just don't get it. He's acting like a weird bastard. I get that point. But other than that, I don't get the pregnancy thing because I weren't around watching TNA when that came about. I just don't know what's happening. So for me at the moment, I'll just cut it because I literally don't understand it. But maybe I need to go back further and watch it and try and get educated on it. But
have you read Bret Easton Ellis's American Psycho or seen the movie?
I've seen American Psycho, yeah.
Obviously this is the stimulus that they've used for the character.
Okay, so it's just being a nutter then?
Yeah. But possibly one that's a bit out of his own mind, let alone anybody else's.
Maybe he's good match for the menagerie then.
The menagerie seems to be, stuck in the water a little bit. I don't think we've seen much of them for a bit.
Yeah, it might be a good way to raise up the menagerie.
It certainly could be an option.
It's left field. I mean, it's left field.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm going to jump to Rue. Rue, your thoughts for Sam Shaw?
To be honest, I have none, because I have not seen TNA in years.
Mm-hmm. So can't comment.
Maybe I need to jump back in and see what the hell are you talking about.
Well, certainly the last few weeks of TNA have been much more interesting than it has been for a long time, so I'd certainly suggest it's worth getting back in and catching up a little bit. So I think we've covered everyone on that, and let's jump back into the next part of DRG's call.
Secondly, Dark EC3 has arrived thanks to Dixie Carter going through a table as well as him snapping on Rhino. But he said in an interview recently that he was hoping to face Kurt Angle if he was ready at Bound for Glory because he feels there's unfinished business there. Is this the proper way to use him at Bound for Glory?
Okay, so there's your next question. I'm going to start with Wayne on this one. Bound for Glory, do you think that's a good use?
Oh, sin now. I don't want to see that again. I'd rather they didn't touch Kurt Angle personally. I think keep him as a GM role. It works for me like that. If not, will Kurt Angle even be there, to be honest?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And we all know the question marks around that at the moment. Ant, what do you think? Do you think it would be a good match putting EC3 with Kurt Angle?
Not greatly. I'm not over on that. But I am loving the Dark EC3 character. My call next week on the WIR is a little bit about that. about hypothetically who would I call into the WWE, and this guy at the moment, he has no flaws, EC3, and he even does, he's doing the dark thing brilliantly as well. Who would I like to see him against?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not Kurt Angle. I'd like to see him up against someone like Bobby Roode, to be fair, maybe for the title.
At this rate, Bobby Roode's going to be a busy man.
Yeah.
Walker, what would you have rather than Kurt Angle for EC3? Or do you think Kurt Angle's a good match for him?
Maybe Bobby Roode or Austin Aries, because like he's done Kurt Angle already now, hasn't he? So we need to keep him against all these top faces, and like I don't think I've seen any interaction between him and Roode or Aries yet. And being in the ring with Aries can only do wonders for him, because he seems to make a good match out of wrestling a pile of shit. So I think he can work with EC3 pretty well.
Captain Awesome, what about you? What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, EC3 is amazing. He's outside of like Rollins and Ambrose, he's probably top three of why I watch wrestling right now. Angle though is just, that's one of those, I think, bucket list things for him. I think he wants that moment, but certainly storyline, they would have a lot of work to try to put in place to get him there, and it would take away from the storyline he's doing now. So I wouldn't like to see that at Bound for Glory. I mean, if it's what he really wants and Angle's still around, that just seems inevitable, but I'd put it off.
Okay, thank you. And Rue, obviously you've not been watching TNA, so you may not have much of a thought on this, but you know who EC3 is. Kurt Angle, would you like to see him in a match?
Yeah, I know who EC3 is. I don't know. I have to go in and see what he's like now. Cause at the start, when I first saw him, I didn't reckon much to him. So.
No, he's absolutely been killing it in TNA. Everything he's done has been pretty much gold from start to finish. So we here on the 2S, we love ourselves some EC3. So, okay, I'm just going to go and finish off the last portion of DRG's call.
And lastly, I want to know what y'all thought about the Great Sonata's debut against Aries, as well as knowing who you feel should be the next to go into James Storm's Revolution. That's my favorite thing going on in Impact right now. I'll talk to you guys later. Hope you all have an excellent show. DRG, gone.
So right there is what DRG can do with 65 seconds. I'm going to start with Ant on this one. So, Great Sonata, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Great Sonata looking like the Great Muta. I absolutely love it. I cannot wait. Hopefully, we've got a Great Muta, Sonata / James Storm match at Bound for Glory. I'm really, really looking forward to that. I'm loving James Storm at the moment. I'm loving him in the management role. I think it's brilliant for both, all of these characters. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Sonata, even in stuff like Spin Cycle. I think he's hilarious in it. but yeah, it's a good look for Sonata. I really like this move forward for him, definitely.
And then who would you add into that little group?
What, in James Storm's Revolution?
Absolutely.
Not quite sure. I'll have to think about that, because there's no one that really fits at the moment, in my opinion. I mean, there's just no one that really stands out. I think, oh yeah, he could fit like a glove. No one sort of stands out at the moment, but I'm sure with storytelling that might be different.
Okay, thank you. What are your thoughts on Sonata?
Sonata, I actually like the look of it, man. His first run was kind of boring to me. Like, he could go in the ring, but it was boring to me. But this, like, little new gimmick where he looks like Muta is pretty interesting. And I'm interested to see where it goes. And he had a very good match with Aries as well, but that's to be expected.
Yeah, that was a good match. And I think there's still options for them to add more layers as they go through with this as well, to expand upon it. So I think certainly see more good things coming from it in the coming weeks. Who else would you add to the Revolution then?
I think he could take the entire menagerie, because the gimmick menagerie now is quite whack, but he could take them all in and then just like make them all like Wyatt family-esque kind of characters, and then that might work, because I every time I see Crazy Steve, I just want to like chop his nuts off or some bullshit. Because he's pissing me off.
I know what I'd do with the entire menagerie, but not bring them into the Revolution, but that's another conversation. Okay, I'm going to come to Rue. Rue, what are your thoughts? Great Sonata you've not seen, but you might want to try and catch up with some of the stuff that's been going on in TNA, but if you know James Storm, obviously he's got Sonata, who's now the Great Sonata. He's going to imitating Great Muta, and he's being pushed and mentored, I should say, by James Storm. So you've got two very different styles of wrestler all there ready together. Who would you add to that mix if it was up to you?
Ooh, I have to look at the TNA roster as well. So I really don't know who's really wrong. So, like I said, I've been out of it for so long, I don't know who's there now.
Hulk Hogan.
No.
No.
Right, okay, no problem. I'm going to come to Captain Awesome then.
So I pulled up the TNA roster for that very reason, because I was trying to think who's not involved in something. Yeah. And they're doing a pretty good job of getting everybody involved, although they still list Homicide on their roster. I don't know how that exactly works out.
I mean, a few weeks.
Yeah. So Manic would be a decent idea to get him away from that stupid gimmick.
Damn you, I was going to say that.
But I'm going to go a different route here. Here's one that I would pick that might be kind of out of left field. I'd actually go with Brittany.
Right, bringing a female into play.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. What would be the development of Brittany for you then?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, so she's already got the kind of crazy thing. So she could be out there doing some kind of crazy nut and Storm could kind of take notice. Yep. And then, you know, I'd have her maybe lose a couple and be a little crazy. Not Alicia Fox crazy, but, you know. I don't mind that Menagerie idea that they listed, because, goddamn, I hate those guys. They screwed that whole, I thought that was going somewhere deep and awesome when they started that, and they screwed it all up. But, no, I think I'd go with Brittany in it, because it would be a switch. You wouldn't expect a female, and it would be almost even more creepy that he's doing the weird stuff out in the woods to the female. So I think, I'd have her being a little crazy, losing, spinning her wheels kind of a thing, and getting more crazy, and just have him go all Charles Manson on it.
Oh, okay, interesting stuff. Wayne.
All right, as Awesome nicked my joke and my idea, I'm gonna change mine to, if it's gonna be Gunner and we're gonna start like a little creepy faction sort of thing, why don't we, so he's not gonna be involved fully in the storylines, he's gonna be glancing across all of them, why don't we involve the Shaw Gunner storyline, and then that will be like retribution for Storm as well. But you'd still have the main feud as Shaw and Gunner, and also Shaw being fucking all off his hinges anyway. That would really work, being easily influenced.
Why don't we make it all of the above, other than the Menagerie? So we get Brittany in there, we get it. Yeah, that's quite an interesting idea. There's some good names, actually. I hope DRG's appreciating that. I know he's actually listening as we're recording this evening, so I hope he's happy with those options. DRG, I'm sure you'll hit us up next week, and thanks for dropping another call to the second shift. We're going to go into our next segment for the evening, and it's time for Ant to drop us his super short, supersonic second shift news. Ant, you ready?
I really don't want to do it this week, because one, the news is not news. Number two, I've had a drink. Number three, I couldn't make this news funny. So I've commented on every news segment, but none of it's funny, so I apologize straight away. But anyway, here is this week's supersonic second shift news. Jake the Snake's still in hospital. Damien's at his bedside. Jerry Springer to appear on Raw for a Bella Twin segment. Jerry. CM Punk gets a photo taken, the twat. Veronica Lane leaves the WWE. I know, who? Michael Sam turns down the WWE. He calls it too camp for his taste. Hornswoggle once bullied Brodus Clay. That's about the long and short of that one. Identity of the Miz's makeup artist released. Shows how sad the IWC have gone. Get a job, you dickheads. JR are not allowed to have WWE superstars on his podcast. JR drowns his sorrows with some barbecue sauce. Matt Hardy slags off the WWE storylines. Claire Lynch, TNA. Fan ejected from Raw for wearing WCW shirt. He said he was just waiting for Goldberg Sting match. WIR main eventer H arrested in Northern England for constantly shouting, "The champ is here." Police stated he urinated in a McDonald's on a Ronald McDonald figure while shouting, "You're not awesome anymore, are you?" Alberto Del Rio cleared to wrestle for AAA. His first match is against a pinata. TNA releases several workers, a cleaner, an admin assistant, and a window cleaner. Yep, it's that sort of news week. And finally, WWE signed Willie Mack. Possible ring names for him are Big Willie and Mack My Willie. And that's this week's Supersonic Second Shift news.
That was almost amazing.
Almost amazing.
That was bad.
Quite awesome.
No. Not quite. You were getting close, and then you took a tail dive there.
Yeah. Not a good week this week. I apologize. Blame it on the Chateau Nerf de Pap. Cheers.
Say no more. I'm going to go for a quick comment on one of these. I've heard the story about Jim Ross not being on the WWE talent on his podcast. What a piece of shit that is. What are your thoughts on that, Ant?
I don't know why they're shitting on him so much. I don't get it.
Terrible.
I honestly don't get it. So he's allowed to go on Stone Cold's,
yeah,
who's an ex-wrestler. He's allowed to go on Jericho, who's a current wrestler. Why not JR, who's one of the biggest legends in wrestling history? There's something gone on behind the scenes there, hasn't there? He's really had a fallout with someone.
Absolutely.
I don't understand it at all. Obviously, this probably won't surface for another 10, 15 years, I'd say. But he's clearly had a fallout with someone big, i.e. Vince or Triple H, someone up there. Because otherwise, this is just getting silly. I don't get it.
There has to be a JR book down the line where this comes out, it has to be said.
Yeah.
Were there any news stories yourself that you thought were quite interesting this week?
Oh my God, the Jerry Springer to appear on Raw.
I heard about that.
Holy crap. You know, everyone knows I hate the Bella sisters / twins. We don't know if they are twins. But,
hold up.
16
you
minutes.
You don't know if they're twins. Don't look right, to me.
16 minutes. That's a fact.
But yeah, I mean, that is going to be absolute cringeworthy TV next week on Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, let's face it, Jerry Springer's about 102 as well, which doesn't help.
Oh God, that is going to be awful next week. Is that a knee-jerk reaction for Michael Sam turning them down? Oh man, they put themselves in the punted themselves in the balls there, didn't they?
Yeah, and this is them trying to stack up the show to go against American football next week, and Jerry Springer's not exactly a great crowd puller, is he anymore?
Not really, but always Michael Sam, to be fair.
Fair point. Captain Awesome, was there any stories there that you found quite interesting?
Well, I hope he rots in jail. but, no. That Michael Sam thing, we talked about this on the Smash Announce Table, that reeked of them being desperate for publicity. Just because you had Darren Young. If you cared about making a statement and telling homosexuals that it is okay to be yourselves, you had that organically a year ago and you didn't care. You made two tweets and that was it. Yeah. And then you just ignored it. So you don't care. You're trying to get publicity. You're trying to get ESPN's attention, and they know that, and he knows that, and that's why he turned you down.
And following on from that, you know, Darren Young's out injured, but it doesn't mean he couldn't do something either pre-taped or, you know, something out of the ring that could have added into that a bit more interestingly.
I said he should come out and turn heel, have Michael Sam out there, come out and turn heel and be like, what the hell? I did this months ago. You guys ignored it. Screw him. Have him beat him up. That would have been big news.
Have you seen the latest pictures of Darren Young?
Yeah, he's beefed up.
Fuck, he's massive now. Huge. He looks totally different.
I might have to look that up at some point. Obviously, that gives him plenty of scope for a bit of a character change when he comes back into play as well. Mm-hmm. Wayne, while you're there, any interesting stories from that pack that Ant delivered for us?
Not really, no.
even Hornswoggle bullying Brodus Clay?
Oh, God. Sorry, I just got the weirdest image. You just move on.
Walker, was there any news stories you found interesting this week?
Nah, I'm just concentrating on all my shit ones, I need to say.
We're coming to that very soon. Okay, Rue, any interesting stories from that pack for you?
Not at all.
Okay, let's move straight into Walker's shit news for the week. If that was the good news, let's see what the shit news has to offer, Walker.
Yeah. Right, I want to clarify this. This is the shit in the bad way, as in I had to reach to find something that's even worthy to be called shit because they're all boring. So,
okay.
With that out of the way, Drew McIntyre's made Scotland's manliest men list.
And I'm not.
Well, apparently not, mate.
Fuck.
Hold on.
So LL Hold on. Gives a shit.
Kevin Nash, Melina, and Rosita are hosting a WrestleMania 31 party where tickets cost like 250 quid or some bullshit. I don't know. There's that. Mannix turned 30 today. And apparently, WWE's partnership with Tout has apparently ended. Does anyone give a shit?
No, because Tout was a pile of shit.
There you go. That's the shit news. Enjoy. Mull that
actually
from it.
I find the Tout story quite interesting. The fact that WWE's investment, after all the time they pumped television-wise into promoting it, they only invested $5,000. That's a pile of shit, let's be honest. Captain Awesome, did you think Tout was worthwhile?
You know, I don't really... just doesn't bother. You know, no real concern either way, you know? You know what's really stuck out with me with this whole shit news there? To go a little off topic. That 250, does that include entry into the Molina gangbang?
I'm sure you get into that for free.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that comes with it. Right. Okay.
I'm sure there's also backdoor entry as well.
Yeah, right.
There's a special question you need to ask Molina, is how big Batista's dick is.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you very much.
That's not a short topic. Let's going to jump back, actually. I've missed an email I'm going to drop in right now. So this has come... it came in at 5:33, so it came in late. So Chevy says, hey guys, Chevy checking in. Question for this week. If you had to get rid of the US title but pick a new one for the WWE, what kind of title would it be? It could be a Divas Tag Team title, a Cruiserweight title, or even a Three-Man Tag Team title. I personally would get some kind of TV title that was to be defended every single Raw. Keeping it short this week, piss off, legend. Bye, Chevy.
God.
Piss off yourself. Okay, so if you were to bring a new title into play to replace the US title, Walker, what would you bring in?
I wouldn't replace anything else. If we're going down this road that we need to unify these titles and get rid of the US and just have one title, then what's the point bringing in another title? Unless you're going to bring out the hardcore title to have some comedy for it, then I don't see the point of bringing another title in. It makes no point. There's no sense.
Yeah, I'm a bit dubious about using another title. But Rue, what are your thoughts? What would you have?
I actually agree with Chevy and bring the TV title in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can defend it on every show.
You don't want a Divas Tag Team title then?
Not at all, because you saw how it did in TNA, so why on earth bring it to WWE? No.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ant the Vigilante, what are your thoughts?
Been saying it for years, bring back the Cruiserweight title. Been saying it for years. Yeah. You got Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Prince Devitt, Tyler Breeze that could go for that. You've even got fucking Daniel Bryan that could go for that. For me... that is the title they need to bring back. And then please bring up Ricochet so he can win that title. That for me needs to happen. I want to see that title. I've wanted to see it for years. I know a few people agree with me on that.
I do.
Please do. Please bring love that back.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And as you say, especially looking at the talent that's yet to come into the main roster, there's a good few names that you mentioned there. And it's just going to make things rather exciting if they had that option to play with.
Exactly that.
Wayne, what are your thoughts? What would you do with an extra title?
Back Ant up, because I said exactly the same thing on DSJMP last night. There's no use having a similar belt with the US and Intercontinental titles. You might as well have something different. And the only thing that they could have that is different is the Cruiserweights now, as the hardcore title is sort of redundant in the PG era. So
you wouldn't have a European title back.
What's the point? Do you know
Isn't
what I mean?
The biggest that's waste of space ever.
Yeah, so it's got to be Cruiserweight or go with nothing, personally.
Captain Austin, are you up for the Cruiserweight title to return?
Not really. I kind of agree with Dan the Cannon in the whole, it limits those guys and pigeonholes them. I don't necessarily like the idea of calling it the TV title and the it must be defended every time there's TV on. For the TV title, all I ever minded was if it's defended, it should be on free television. But I like the TV title back in WCW as that third tier. What I've said to do is don't necessarily unify the IC and US, but just make the US a third tier. So your IC title is for guys that have been main event level or are on the cusp. So you've got your Sheamuses, your Mark Henrys, you know, those kind of guys. And then your third tier is what the IC and US titles were when we had two world titles, was your you know, workhorse guys, your Dolph Ziggler's, your Wade Barrett's, your up and comers that are, you know what I mean, getting to that upper thing. So that's kind of your third tier, and that's more your featured on TV thing that you're going to get. And then you reserve the world title for bigger, better, for pay-per-views, for big time feuds. So I don't mind if it's called the TV title, whatever. It just always seemed like a cheap, easy name for me. But I like seeing a third level title when you have this much talent.
Would you say we don't get enough championships defended on free TV?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, certainly having a TV title means that you've got something that's definitely going to be delivered in terms of title matches. I agree with you that it shouldn't be every time there's TV, but that should be the only place that is defended. But do you think we should see more US title matches or intercontinental title matches and maybe even world title matches on Raw, on SmackDown, maybe even the occasional one on Main Event?
I like the idea of the world title not as often, because that makes it a big deal. But definitely the IC. I think like Raw, the main title that you would see on IC would be that IC title. Just as this is what you get for TV. But if you want to see the big time, the real champ, you got to fork over $9.99 to see that.
Absolutely right. Ant, I'm going to jump back to you for a second. Do you think there should be more titles in terms of mid-card defended on house shows, etc.?
Depends. To me, it depends what the ratio of the winning percentage is. If I know that every week there's going to be the IC title defended, but 99.9% of the time it ain't going to change hands, what's the fucking point? You've got to surprise me. Surprise me. Throw in a random one. Throw in a fucking US title tomorrow and change it over. That's what they need to do. They need to be surprising with it rather than this title's going online every week, but every week it don't change hands. What's the fucking point?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for me. If you're going to have all these title matches and house shows, they're absolutely a waste of time. The only thing that ever happens is you might get one, but it changes hands on a Tuesday night and then it changes back on the Wednesday night. That, for me, is a total waste of time. If they're going to do it, they need to make it actually worthwhile, have the cameras there to film it, and then they can show it on Raw or on SmackDown.
And do it. Surprise me.
And I think that adds more levity to the house shows, to give folk reason to go, because there is that chance that there might actually be something valuable in terms of a title match on those events.
God, yeah, definitely. Completely agree.
Good. I'm glad.
You're welcome, my friend.
Okay, Chevy, so I hope that keeps you happy. Lots of thoughts there for you to take forward. If you've got any additional thoughts you want to drop to the show, just drop us an email next week. Sixshiftpod@gmail.com. I'm going to go into our one up, one down for this week, and I'm going to let our guest for the week, Captain Awesome, start. What have you been watching this week that was good? What have you watched that was bad? Pick your favourite and worst.
The Bellas suck.
Fact.
I can't stand it. It kind of makes my stomach hurt to watch that. One up, man. I don't, you know, the Great Sonata is cool.
Yeah.
But that's not the key to me for that whole thing is James Storm is insanely firing on all cylinders right now. This is the best he's ever been. Like, he legitimately makes me feel uncomfortable watching him.
Yeah.
It's like I literally am creeped out, and that's what a heel is supposed to do.
And absolutely, we're getting that. What's going to happen next? What's going to be his next move? What's his approach going to be going forward from here? So it certainly gives more life to that character as well. So we've got a lot to come from that going on.
Right.
I'm going to jump to Wayne. You're one up, one down. What have you got for us?
One up for the week, I'd probably say Nitro finally being added to the network, because I never watched it. So the start with them and get into an ECW product that I never did is going to be quite interesting. I've seen the first one today. Quite impressed with how it's aged, to be honest. Whether or not that will carry on past the first episode, I don't know. But no, I enjoyed the first episode. And one down, the fact that Raw was just boring for the second week in a row. And I really hope that perks up for Night of Champions.
Okay, thank you very much. Rue, you're one up, one down. What have you got for us?
Okay, one down will probably have to be the Divas tag match that was just so awkward to watch. And one up, that's a hard one because I've only seen Raw so far. I don't know, I have to think about that one.
Find a positive. There has to be something, Rue. Find a positive.
If you can find it on Raw, yeah.
Oh, my God. Right, well, Rue, have a wee minute. Have a wee think. We'll come back to you because I want a positive from you in this. Ant. Yeah, you're one up, one down.
What's with the Raw shitting on guys? Raw, usually, you know me.
Yeah.
I shit on everything. But literally. But Raw was so bad this week, it was great. there's a film called The Room, which is the worst film of all time. But you watch it and you're in hysterics the whole way through. Best stoners film ever. You watch it and you're just in hysterics of how bad it is. Raw was like that this week. But anyway, I'm going to get my one up, one down in. One up, I'm going to go left field a little bit. One up for me was Charlotte and Bayley's interaction on NXT. I absolutely loved it. You know, Charlotte's interaction with the crowd, just saying, shut up, and things like that. And then Bayley chirping up, completely ad-lib, going, oi, Charlotte, I'm over here, you talk to me. It was fantastic. I absolutely loved that. And them two girls are really doing great work at the minute. My one down has to be Tommy Dreamer. Please get off my television, Tommy Dreamer. You've had your day. you're in New York, I get it. ECW, lovely, lovely. Now fuck off. Now just go. Just leave me alone. Let me watch TNA in peace without you and your fat ass in the ring.
He's always just trying to promote his own show, isn't he, though?
Oh, just, yeah, but it's been enough. It's been long enough.
Yeah.
Come on. Go away now, Tommy Dreamer. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for those. And I'm going to find Walker next.
We're doing one down. Sorry, I've been on the yes. phone.
Yes. All right. Wait. You've been on the phone. Did you have someone better to talk to than us?
Yes.
Jeez, why do I have you on this bloody
show? This is what happens when Scott's on the call, man. Like, my attention dwindles every time you're on because I don't like Scottish people. Yeah, what you going to say now, girlfriend?
I'm going to say, RMA, can you get that edit button ready? Okay, can you give us your one up, one down for this week, please?
My one up is William Regal being the GM of NXT because I feel like he actually is actually interested in the NXT superstars as JBL really wasn't because JBL wasn't there. And I think he'll have more of a say in what's going on. We'll see him more on screen, which is cool because it's William Regal. So cool.
And right, okay, and you're one down?
One down. Probably just, again, the Bella, all that crap. The fucking grown up Bella thing was the worst shit ever. And I was still dead looking at Nikki Bella's titties, and it wasn't really helping because I had to mute it because that shit was boring as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff was absolutely terrible, and they're just adding more each week, and I just want to see the end of it sooner rather than later. Oh, drive me up the wall. Okay, I'm just going to quickly do mine. I mean, my one down was also the Bella segments, the pre-taped Nikki Bella sections were absolutely hideous. They were just so dry and uninteresting. Get them off my TV, thank you. And my one up actually was the stare down between AJ and Stephanie. The two didn't say a word, but to me, there was a whole story being told there, so there's something there to be explored in the weeks to come. So that was interesting for me. It's my one up.
My penis twitched.
And I'm sure Walker did too when you said that.
Yeah, definitely. That was a great segment, though, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I really enjoyed
especially
it.
Especially with Paige. See? I'm loving Paige at the moment.
Positivity at Raw.
Raw was great. I loved it. Paige was great last night. I love her little new sort of like vibe that she's got. She's so good at the minute. And she's obviously learning from AJ Lee. They're obviously in cahoots quite a bit. Obviously, they're working a lot together. And yeah, I think she's certainly rubbing off on her, hopefully in more ways than one. But and I want to see the video. But anyway, yeah, but I do think that Paige is coming into her own now with AJ Lee.
Paige has always been awesome.
No, she wasn't, Wayne. No, she wasn't. When she first came in, fanboy. When she first came into WWE, she was very nervous, very timid. But just over time, she slowly got there, and I think she's bang on it now. I think the Divas division actually at the moment is fantastic. And I actually think it is a little that we might be gearing up for Stephanie McMahon to take the Divas title.
I was wondering that when I was watching Raw as well. Certainly on the offing. So we'll see what kind of plays out over the next couple of weeks. And when I come back to Rue, where's your positivity from Raw? Give us something.
Yeah, I have to say, Paige, yeah. So I've always been a big fan of Paige for a good number of years now. So yeah, I'd definitely say from Raw, she's really come back into her own now. From when I saw her in UKW.
Yeah. The outlook for Paige at the moment is actually very, very, very bright, and I'm looking forward to what she's going to be doing. And it's how many women's, not sorry, Divas titles is she going to hold even in the next year alone? Because it's certainly something that's going to be a bit of a hot potato, I think, with her and a few others, the way it's going. Okay, thank you all for your one up, one down. Next, we're going to chat about the theme for this show. We've had a few different things going on in the last few weeks because a few of the guys aren't happy that we've been using Chelsea Dagger for the first 14 or 15 shows we used it, and so they want to change things up. So I asked some of you what you want to use instead. I've got some suggestions, and we're going to get some feedback from all of you on the call this evening, and also we're going to open it out to the guys on Twitter to give us their feedback before next week. So I have five bits of music we're going to play, and then after each we'll get a quick bit of feedback, and then we'll take it from there. So the first one I'm going to play, it was suggested by Walker.
Keep your mind out of the gutter. I'm up a bit on a string, Tracy Island, time traveling diamond, could a sheep heartache,
I've come to find you for in some velvet
morning. It's too late. She's a silver lining. I'll pause that right there. That's the Arctic Monkeys, Are You Mine? Wayne, would you use it?
I'm surprisingly astounded by Walker's good taste.
Oh,
there.
My. I thought it was going to be
something really sorted. Well,
you're all expecting a fucking money shot of some bullshit, weren't you?
I was expecting 50 Cent. That's what I was expecting.
Wow, racism.
That's not racism.
You're just saying it because I'm black.
I could have said N&M. N&M. I was expecting N&M.
It's too late now.
And do you like the idea of using Arctic Monkeys?
Yeah, it's a bit loud, isn't it? A bit loud and vocal, but yeah, I like the Arctic Monkeys. I like that. That's not too bad.
Let's ask America Captain Awesome. What did you think of that track?
I don't know, for a podcast intro, that's just my audiophile mind clicking. It was, like you said, pretty loud and vocal, which is hard to do an intro in a hey guys, welcome to the show kind of a thing over. So
yeah,
I wouldn't use it particularly for anything of mine, but I like the song.
Cool. Okay. And Rue, any thoughts?
No, I don't mind Arctic Monkeys, but the song as an intro, not really something you want to get into with a podcast.
Yeah, it's certainly not my personal favourite on this one, but we'll see what you think of the other tracks in a few minutes. And what we'll do is when we come to the end of this segment, I'll give you all some hashtags so you can make your votes. I'm going to go to the second track. This was suggested by Ant. Obviously, the classic Money for Nothing from Dire Straits.
Another good song selection.
So, Wayne, you like that?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a bit of Noff.
You thought it was going to be drum and bass, didn't you? But I surprised you.
And I said I like that as an option. Walker, what do you think? Money for Nothing?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Cool. Rue?
Yeah, that's right. Liked it because it's just going to get you into the podcast. And it's like, oh, it's like, what are you going to hear next?
Cool. Captain Awesome, you like that one?
Agree 100%. It's got the great hook just start, and then you just kind of get pumped. You're just like, hell yeah, this is going to be great. I like it.
Cool. Okay, the next one.
I think I'm in the lead here.
I think you certainly are so far.
Awesome.
The next one was from the Gypsy H. He's actually given us two because he couldn't decide which one to go for. So I'm going to play the first of his two suggestions. Of course, Finn Lizzy there, and the boys are back in town. Wayne, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like the song again. I'm just really surprised. I was expecting some clever bastard to come back with Chelsea Dagger, and I was getting ready to rant about it.
Okay, Ant, your thoughts?
Look, when we talked about this, and we were trying to find different records, obviously I had to eliminate things that have just been, I'm going to say the word, raped to death. That one is one of them. that was on my list of no's, just because it's just everyone does it.
Mm. Walker, your thoughts?
I like the song, but I don't know, man. I kind of agree with Ant. It's been done a lot, and I just keep thinking of Toy Story. So I'm gonna listen to hear the theme music and then be upset that there's no fucking talking toys. So
see that classic Walker? He always brings it back to his Woody.
Yeah.
Awesome. What did you think of that track?
I don't mind that. I mean, it does give the feel of the, because the boys are back in town. You have the round table, you know, Rue excluded.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it is kind of cliche for that kind of thing. So maybe not.
Okay. Rue, what are your thoughts?
I do love the song, but yeah, it is overdone several times over. So yeah.
Okay. Have I done everyone from a stew win? Did I get you?
Yeah, done me.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to go into the second track that H suggested.
Why does he get two? He's greedy.
Yeah.
Oh, piss off.
Fuck off, man.
No.
Take the piss.
Anyway, so Chelsea Dagger was put back on the table. I'm going to start with you then, Wayne.
Piss off.
Wayne proper hates that song.
Ant yourself, what do you think?
Oh, see, I don't like it. That's sorry, true. Guys.
Okay, Ruth?
No, because it just reminds me of the World Cup in 2006.
And the Honda advert.
Yeah.
Captain Awesome?
I think you need to use the original Adam Rowe song that they use like twice. It was a better version of that, but yes.
Oh, and Leslie Walker.
I fucking hate that fucking song so fucking much. I fucking hate that song with a fiery burning passion. It burns worse than fucking Chlamydia does. I fucking hate that song, man. Terrible.
See, Legend, when all the regulars on the show hate the record that opens the show.
Yeah, no, that's why we're having this exact segment. That's the whole point we're having the segment. And we've got one last track to kind of play in. And this one was suggested by Wayne. Coincidentally used by myself on the All Wrestling Week review this week. So it's suggesting William Regal's theme. We'll start with Ant on this one. What do you think?
Piss off.
Short and sweet. Awesome.
I would open with that initial hook and then power it into the Money for Nothing. Like just that initial thought. Couple and then just boom. And then it'd be perfect.
Okay, Walker, your thoughts?
It's the easy choice, really, isn't it? But, like, no, I wouldn't want to go.
You're all these rock sods. At least Awesome saw the positive.
I like the song. I do like the theme music. I'd listen to the theme music, but I wouldn't want it as a theme of this show at all.
Okay, Rue?
Yep, I don't mind William Regal's song, but it's not really a start-off for a show, really, is it?
That's absolutely what you want it to be. That's the whole point, having a vote on this kind of subject. So let's have a kind of survey like amongst ourselves.
Do you not think? It's a bit rapey, that music, isn't it? It's like...
Well,
it's a bit
miserable. Welcome to the miserable Scott. So it goes right then, don't it? So.
Okay, let's kind of get a summary of everybody what their favourite of those five were. So let's remind you what we had. We had... the Arctic Monkeys, we had Money for Nothing, Dire Straits, we had Chelsea Dagger, we had Boys Are Back in Town, and William Regal. So Wayne, which would you choose from that five?
Any that weren't fucking Chelsea Dagger.
Well, pick one. Put your money where your mouth is.
I'd do what Awesome said and have the reopening of Regal going into Money for Nothing.
Okay. Awesome. Which would you go with? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Rue.
I second that.
Someone's going to have a production job. Okay. Walker.
Fuck it, I agree with you guys.
And Ant.
You know, why should you fuck this up now?
I'm going to fuck it up because I don't like the Regal thing because it sounds too rapey. But yes, of course, I'm going to go for my own record, aren't I? Money for Nothing, please.
Right, okay. So I'm going to give some hashtags for folk to give us a vote on Twitter if they want to. And DRG, I'm sure you're going to be asking how you can vote since you don't have Twitter, where you can let us know in the second shift room on GroupMe. So the hashtags are going to be, if you want to vote for the Arctic Monkeys, hashtag 2SMonkeys. If you want to vote for Money for Nothing, hashtag 2SMoney. If you want to vote for Chelsea Dagger, hashtag 2SDagger. If you want to vote for the Boys Are Back in Town, hashtag 2SBoys. And lastly, if you want to vote for William Regal's theme, even if you want it merged into Money for Nothing, use hashtag 2SRegal.
Yeah, if you want the mashup, put hashtag 2SAwesome, as that was his idea.
That's a good idea. I like that. Hashtag 2SAwesome if you want the mashup.
What, just get like two votes and they both be from Qatar?
Well, we'll mix that with what we've said on the show as well this evening, so I'm sure that'll work out. I'm going to go into our next part, of the show.
Robbie, you also matched with a French bulldog, and is that a...
How is that a tie?
Is that a parrot?
Let me see that.
Oh,
wait a minute. How is that a tie?
All right, it is a parrot, but parrots are people too, bro.
Okay, so
I love that highlight of the week.
Okay, so we're going to chat now about wrestling podcasts, since we are on one and we're all involved in several. Kind of going to list a few obvious ones, being the Second Shift, the DSJMP main show, the WrestleCast, the AllWrestling.com Week in Review, Captain Awesome's Spanish Announce Table, and we'll also mention Kiwi Tuts's Tuts Experience, all different podcasts that we're all kind of mentioned or linked with. Why do we listen to podcasts? Because are we just all just amazing fans and want to know everything we possibly can about the subject? Are we all just big geeks at heart? Or are we just rehashing each other? What do we favour? Why do these ones stick out? So I'm going to start with Captain Awesome being one of the two main men on the Spanish Announce Table. What podcast do you listen to first, and why do you listen to those specific podcasts?
Well, the AllWrestling.com Week in Review, obviously. I started listening to that. I had just found podcasts in general and was listening to comedy podcasts when I was finishing up my tour in Germany, and got back and I was like, oh, wrestling. I should see if they have wrestling podcasts, and found that. And Steve Austin, just because you feel like you're just listening in on a conversation between people, you know. Ross Report, I'll listen to that, but same kind of feel. But it's probably one of my later ones down. Same thing with Jericho, as far as wrestling podcasts go. And then, you know, those are the big name things. And then I try to, I spend a lot of time having to list back to my own for editing purposes and, you know, that kind of jazz. So that takes up the majority of my time.
Have you checked out the DSJMP WrestleCast that T-Mac was on?
I did not catch the one that T-Mac was on yet. I heard like the first 20 minutes, maybe. When he was still kind of figuring out how to work a microphone. I haven't caught all. I have it saved on my phone.
And I keep
telling him I'm going to listen to it.
And of course, the $64,000 question is going to be, how many episodes of the Second Shift have you listened to?
About a half of one. How deep are we into this one? And no offense. I started actually this morning. I started listening to one that I downloaded a while back. I forget which one it was, to try to familiarize myself with some of the format. But geez, I have these things. They automatically download, and then I wind up like looking into my phone. And it's like, oh, your phone's getting overloaded. It's running out of memory space, and I have to delete about 25 podcasts from all the podcasts.
Captain
so
bullshit.
Everything. I rarely listen to much, to be honest with you, anymore.
So you'll be listening back to this one then.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll get you hooked to listen to more going forward.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get hooked. Hey, I just voted, so I'm a contributor.
That's a good thing. Okay, I'm going to jump to Ant. What podcast do you listen to, and why those specific podcasts?
Basically, I only listen to WIR, Air Ones, i.e. First Shift, Second Shift, and also Steel Cage. They're the only ones I listen to. Basically, for me, the reason I got into podcasts and basically onto the WIR as well, is that I had no friends that like wrestling.
Right.
They hate it. They think I'm gay. They call me a 12-year-old child and things
Did
like that.
Did you know that's not just because you watch wrestling?
No, it's also, I know I am homosexual, but that's a different matter. They don't know that. But yeah, I mean, for me, listening to podcasts, I want to be a fly on the wall in someone's living room.
Yeah,
and I want to feel like I'm invited. So shows like this and shows like Steel Cage, for instance, give me that sort of formula. Whereas shows like All Week in Wrestling Review, I think I got that wrong, but fuck it. I want to hear different perspectives that are different to mine. You know, I might think one way, but if someone can educate me another way, albeit fantastic, and that's why I listen to that one in particular.
So in the words of DRG, to hear other perspectives and open your mind.
Yeah, well put. Yeah, I like
that. Okay, and just going to bring you a question on the Steel Cage, one I've not personally listened to. What is it about the Steel Cage that you particularly like?
Again, it's a bit like our show. You know, they have a bit of banter, and it is more of a sort of family-orientated show. They're the same guys every week, and you get to know them slightly. And they have good points as well. They have decent points.
Rue, what podcast do you listen to and why? What's it about them that you really like?
Well, the Week in Review, Second Shift, JR's and Stone Cold's I mainly listen to.
Yeah.
Just because, well, with the Week in Review I've listened to for over 5 years now, and just starting to get podcasts then, just wanted something to keep me up with the week in wrestling.
Yeah.
And then just going on to like Stone Cold's and JR's, it's just like hearing the interviews and the trips down memory lane. That's why I like listening to them.
Do you do what I do and what I know others do as well with the Chris Jericho podcast and only listen to the ones with wrestling content on?
Yeah. Because some of the ones that Jericho puts on, I was like, who the hell are they? I don't know any of them.
Okay, thank you very much. Wayne, what about you?
I've got to be honest, I listen to about 20 to 30 a week, but that's because I work.
What?
Yeah, but I work
fucking
like, with earphones in, so you think that's 9 hours a day I've got headphones in.
Is that because you don't like your work colleagues?
So, because, yeah, to be honest, they've had enough of talking to me, so I thought, screw you, I'll put headphones in. Yeah, and also I go to sleep listening to some, so there's ones I actually want to listen to, which I do at work, and then there's actually ones that I don't particularly like that put me to sleep, so I use them to go to bed with.
How about you educate us? Give us the one to add to our collections that we should be listening to that we maybe don't already.
I'd listen RBR, to keep talking about it. I listen to all the ones in this community, obviously Spanish Announce Table, where you can review DSJMP ones and that. But the one outside of the community that are the two actually I'll flag up is Law Radio. That's awesome. They do like one every day. They're just really good. Or that's like a proper radio station. So that's worth a punt. And RBR Wrestling Talk Radio, that's absolutely amazing. They do a 1 3-hour live show a week, and it's just my sense of humor. If you're easily offended, don't listen to it. But if you just want to hear a group of mates sit around talk and smack and everything, it's absolutely amazing.
Okay, thank you, Walker. What about you? What do you listen to, especially those that we may not already be listening to ourselves?
The ones I listen to, everyone listens to, is like the Week in Review, like Spanish Announce Table, you know, DSJMP. Yeah. I only listen to, and Austin and Jericho, and I only listen to them because I listen to the Week in Review because when I was 16, 17 years old, I was just looking for a podcast because aside from Jimmy Flash, I had no one to talk to wrestling about. And if you've had a conversation with Jimmy Flash, you don't want to do that too often, to be honest.
So Jimmy Flash is like a real friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I've known him for years.
Bum chum.
Like you and Wayne, motherfucker, just be quiet.
Damn right. Yeah, but at least me and Wayne don't deny it. Hey, Wayne.
As I was saying.
As you were saying, Walker.
Like, yeah, and when you speak to Jimmy Flash about wrestling, then he will never stop. And so just like, okay, I'm going to listen to this podcast, check this out. And then I started listening to other podcasts. Because my friends were on it, because the friends I met through this podcast are on them, so I was like, okay, I'll support them and listen to their show. And then Austin and Jericho is because it's Stone Cold and Jericho, and I grew up watching these guys in wrestling, so of course I want to hear what they have to say. So there, that's pretty much it, and that's the only podcast I listen to, because unlike Wayne, I'm not a sad act with all that time on my hands to listen to like 30 different
podcasts. I'm working! Don't call me a sad act, I'm working! I don't like my four colleagues I work with, so I put headphones in.
Basically, Wayne, you don't like talking to humans.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah,
you could
say I'm just a miserable sort.
Anyone missed on that topic?
Oh, I like podcasts, though.
Oh, you're such a knob.
So the question is, I suppose, is it a geek thing to do to listen to so many, Wayne?
Fuck yeah.
What do you mean? What's the problem?
12 hours a day, 7 days a week, I presume.
What?
Seven days a week, I presume.
No, I only work 5 days a week.
Oh, sorry. It's only 70 hours.
I get 2 days off
that you listen to. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
So what you're saying is technically you're a professional podcast listener because you technically get paid to listen to podcasts.
Well, yeah, I suppose the bread making is secondary and that. Yes, that's the way I should look at it. Maybe I'd enjoy my job more.
I listen to 5 hours worth of podcasts and my wife calls me an absolute geek and freak. You listen to 70
but
hours.
You just sit at home and you just beat off. That's all you do.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's all I do. That's all I do all day.
fight.
We're having a lover's tiff right on a podcast talking about bullshit podcasts. Brilliant.
Last week, Live Urination. This week, we have it all breaking down. Domestics are a topic that we'll never stop talking about if this keeps up. Anyway, seriously, let's move on from that. I think plenty of topics covered on the old podcast there, and it's time to hand the mic over to Ant, who's going to do week 3 of our quiz on the second shift.
Okay, thank you very much, Living Legend. Okay, it's that time of the week when we ask, who am I? Let me explain the format for any new listeners. I'm going to give each of the panel four clues about a wrestler, and they have to guess, who am I? The quicker they get it, the more points they get. If they guess wrong, they are frozen out, and I'll throw it over to the panel. But if anyone from the panel chirps up unnecessarily like they did last week, I'll deduct points from them also. I've asked Macho Man's ghost to randomly select who goes first. And he's
Wow. Fucking hell.
Every week I do this, I'm going to pick something random like that. So, and I've asked, he's asked Captain Awesome to go first. I've lost my pen, so I can't keep score. So if Living Legend can keep score, that'll be. So Captain Awesome, are you ready to play Who Am I?
Let's do it.
Okay. So question one. I was born December the 16th, 1979, in Rochester, New York. Any idea? Or do you want to move on to the next question? Next question. Okay, so for 3 points, I made my WWE debut on NXT in November 2012.
I wasn't really watching NXT then.
Do you want the next question?
Yeah.
So for 2 points, one of my former ring names is Brody Lee.
Luke Harper. Luke Harper.
Right.
Yeah.
One like that, you bitch, and I'm going to deduct a point from you, Walker.
Oh, fuck.
Right.
So 2 points there for Awesome.
2 points. Awesome. Yeah. Do you want to guess that, or do you want the 1 point question?
No, yeah, it was Luke Harper.
They said
Luke
Harper.
That's correct.
You are Luke Harper,
points.
Yeah.
2 points. There you go. Right, Lady Rooks. Would you like to go next to play Who Am I?
Go on then.
Okay. I was born April 17th, 1954 in Saskatoon, Canada. You want the next question?
Next question.
Next question. I'm a one-time intercontinental champion spanning 77 days. You want to move on?
Yes, please.
Okay, so for 2 points, my real name is Roderick George Toombs.
Oh, God.
No?
No.
Okay, so for 1 point, nice and easy, I wear a kilt.
Oh, God, Roddy Piper.
There you go.
I had it at Saskatoon.
You had it at Saskatoon?
Yeah, because I remember him saying it on one of the podcasts.
Ah, there you go. Okay, Legend, your go then. Let's have a go. Yeah. Let's find a really difficult for Legend. Yeah, here we go.
Bastard.
Sorry. Right. I was born December the 7th, 1968, in Syracuse. I don't know if that's pronounced right. New York.
No, go on.
I made my WWE debut in 1997. No?
Oh, no. 1997. No. Okay. Go on. Next one.
I've had 11 matches in total, winning just 3. Yeah, this one will be tough.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay, 1 point question.
Okay, 1 point. Again, nice and easy. One of my victories was at WrestleMania 27 against Jerry Lawler.
Michael Cole.
Yes, Michael Go. 1 point for you.
Fair play. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Bloody hell.
So, Walker, as soon as you chirped up, you're next.
Yay!
Let's play Who Am I? I was born April the 11th, 1969, in Austin, Texas. And it's not DRG.
Ain't got a clue, mate. Carry on.
Okay. I was a central figure in WWE's Attitude Era.
Next one.
I'm the son of a WWE Hall of Famer.
Can I take a random, guess?
For 2 points? Yeah, of course you can.
2 points. Attitude Era. Fucking hell. Goldust.
Boom, 2 points for you, my friend.
Yay.
Well done.
There you go. So what are the scores at the moment, Living Legend?
It's Awesome and Walker on 2 and Rue and myself on 1.
Okay, so Wayne is a baker. Are you ready to play Who Am I?
I'm not feeling it today, but let's give it a go.
Your one's Yeah, good luck for 2 points. Right.
I very much doubt I'll get one.
I was born December the 18th, 1970, in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, God. Whenever you do this, you can hear the announcers, can't you?
Yeah.
Battle Creek, Michigan.
See, this is one that I would have got 4 points at, but I thought other people might not. So.
Oh, I can hear the announcers.
Do you want the next question?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so for 3 points, I made my TV debut in 1987, kissing Million Dollar Man's foot.
Oh, God. No, you don't hear the announcer.
See, I think that threw people a bit. Right, for 2 points, I won my WWE title by beating John Cena in 2006.
What? Oh,
do you
want me to repeat that? Stop chirping. Stop chirping.
Fucking cut a point off the idiot.
He's on his last warning. So
fucking
for 2 points,
Mario keeps popping up on the screen every time he speaks.
I won my WWE title by beating John Cena in 2006 for 2 points. Do you want to you might as well take a guess, because otherwise you're going to be out. You can't win. So do you want to have a guess?
Beat John Cena. Oh, I don't know.
No, so you want 1 point question. I'm going to have an extra one, so you can actually earn more points from that. So do you want the last question?
Yeah.
Okay, so for 1 point, I'm an ECW legend.
I'm just throwing a blank.
Hey, can I just give him some help?
No, no.
Wayne, listen to me. Go back to the first fucking question. Who else gets an end by Battle Creek fucking Michigan?
Very true.
Battle Creek, Michigan, man. No one else has been announced that way. You must fucking get this.
Oh, God.
Okay. Do you want to guess that 1 point question? I'm an ECW legend from Battle Creek, Michigan.
I ain't got a fucking clue.
No. Okay. Right. I'm gonna throw it out. As soon as I say go, shout your name. Go.
Legend.
That was legend. That was legend.
Fuck off.
That was legend.
Get the fuck out of here, that's mine!
Legend, what are you saying?
RVD.
Correct.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, now you get it, stupid bitch.
Not only wrestlers, but I think he might be the only person from that.
Okay, right. So, Living Legend, do you want to give us the scores on the doors?
Currently... Awesome 2, Walker 2, me 2, Rue 1.
Okay, and poor little Wayne on 0.
0.
Right, so I'm going to give one more, and then if we hit a tie break after this one, I've got a tie break question. So this is for everyone. If you shout your name and you give an answer, and it's a wrong answer, you're out, but the person I hear the first will get the question. Right, for 4 points, I was born September the 11th. This is going to be so easy. 1965 in Scarsdale, New York. No one.
Walker!
Walker's in.
Paul Heyman!
Boom, he's got it.
Yes. Easily flew it this week. 6 points for Walker.
Face in a fucking row. Now say I cheated. Now say I fucking cheated.
It was a nice, easy one for the last one. I thought there would have been more shouts at... names for that last one.
I just fucking RVD, so it's not a lot of hope for me.
No, I thought Heyman, but just wasn't confident enough to go for it.
I watched the DVD like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was my issue, why I didn't really want to do that one. That's why I had that one as an extra.
Yeah.
The tiebreak question was decent as well. But
good job on the quiz, though. Some good ones this week.
Yeah, we're going to change the quiz format next week.
Yes.
LL, do you want to explain that quiz segment?
Yeah, the new quiz segment next week is going to be Wrestling Killer. Basically, everyone's going to get 3 lives, and we're going to give a topic, for example, something along the lines of members of DX, and we'll go around the group, and you've got to say one person that was a member of DX in this case, and if you say a wrong answer, you lose a life, and we go on to the next question with the next person. Or if you say pass as well, it's the same scenario. So that'll work that way until you run out of lives. And then when it gets down to however many people on one life each, it's all in or all out. So we'll play it through and then see who we get as the winner. So Wrestling Killer as of next week.
Can't wait.
I can't wait for this.
I'm glad someone said something there. It's going to be quiet.
We didn't want to give you the speech treatment, man.
Yeah, exactly the same. I didn't want you guys to have a Kai moment there, so I had to jump in.
I kind of respect you more than Kai, even though it's like pretty much the lesser of two evils, because you're Scottish and he's a gypsy, and I hate both of you equally. So,
and nothing like respect for the WIR main event, is there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to pitch in any Kai hate at this stage?
I'm reserving that for my return to the AWWIR.
Call that a tease.
I'll bite my tongue for now.
Okay, I mean, I pitched that to Ant yesterday, I think it was, and we both like the idea, so we hope everybody else does too. So we're looking forward to trying that out next week. Okay, we're going to go into our final segment for the evening, our free chat, and we're going to start with Walker. That's what I did that.
So is everybody looking forward to this NXT takeover then?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, I can't wait.
After watching the last NXT episode, and
yeah,
and now the main event's been announced, and we're getting closer to the tag team ones and all that, and the hair versus hair match. I'm really getting hyped for this now. I just really hope Sami Zayn gets the fucking title.
Especially after the last two special events as well, they were very good. So it gives enough momentum going forward to this one, really adds to it. So I'm looking forward to it for all reasons.
I hope Tyler Breeze wins the title.
Tyler Breeze is the ring, as I first thought. Like, he just had that one really good match with Sammy, and that was his best match. And he hasn't really had a good match since, to be honest.
I just love the gimmick.
I like the gimmick too, but I don't think he should be getting the belt next. Not before Sammy. No one should get it before Sammy, ever.
Do you think Sammy should be maybe brought up though?
I wouldn't mind it, but maybe there's not really a place for him. Well, you know how fucked up the mid cards is kind of right now, with everyone that's not feuding for a title, is barely ever on. So maybe it's not the right time for him.
But what do you see for people like Kevin Steen and Prince Devitt that are going to come up to the TNA?
Take your time now.
To the NXT product, you know what I mean? So there's going to be two spaces there that are going to be taken. I mean, I'd lose Bull Dempsey and have Kevin Steen any fucking day of the week, but I don't know what you guys think of that.
I like Bull Dempsey, big fat bitch.
Maybe there's a feud to be built there between the two, actually.
Maybe they could just be a killer tag team.
That's what my worry is. I don't want that to be the case.
No way. Never do that. Never, ever.
I don't want that.
They are similar to each other, right? They are big, husky guys that like to beat people up. It looks as when you look at them both, if you put them side by side, they'd make a good-looking tag team because they look the same. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, and another thing I'm not liking about TakeOver is the name. I just don't like the name TakeOver at all. It doesn't do it for me. I liked it as a one-off, but not as a second one.
I've got another question as we're talking about NXT, real quick. You think when Steen finally surfaces and Zayn's still there, do you think they'll put those guys together immediately, or would they try and keep them apart, or what?
I think it'll be prolonged and put off if that's the case, because they'll want to build up a bit of hype towards it rather than get folk in sweating and requesting and wanting it. If you just throw it in straight away, it just takes that excitement away.
Yeah. Can I just jump on the TakeOver thing?
Absolutely.
For me, the TakeOver name was sort of, it had WWE superstars in, i.e. the Cesaro match, which sort of stole the show. I don't think NXT TakeOver's got any WWE superstars in it. So what's the point of the name?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
What are you
me
taking
is...
over? You're taking over the same venue that you've done for for the last 6 months.
Taking over
Brilliant.
The network. Come on.
Oh, they're taking over the network, are they? For $9.99. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. But that name.
$9.99.
Oh,
fuck
well done,
off.
Legend.
Don't nine
episode,
nine.
Didn't he? Bless him.
Fucking $9.99 me. I've got fucking PS by Catter. Fuck you, legend. $9.99. But no, that name is absolutely stupid. I think DRG said he wants NXT dominance, which I like that. I really like that name.
Yeah, I quite like that. It's much more interesting to me than TakeOver.
Yeah.
Austin, what are your thoughts on the TakeOver name?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. The initial name was cool, but now it's especially for if you're going to roll the second special event out of the box and it's got the same name as the other one.
Mm.
Well, so are you going to call them all that? And then that doesn't make any sense. I'm not a fan.
And are you looking forward to the event itself, though?
I have not been watching NXT for quite some time. Not that I don't want to. I've tried to catch up on the Tyler Breeze thing because I hear that's being done really well. But so I honestly don't know much of the build up for any of it all.
Squeezing extra 55 minutes into your schedule.
Yeah.
Get watching NXT.
Right? Yeah. I tell you.
And that was to sleep and watch NXT instead of sleeping.
Yeah. That's what I
don't sleep much to begin with. Yeah.
Well, then you're fucked.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Wayne, actually, for your free chat for this week. Any topics you want to bring up?
Not really.
Oh, for Christ, he's done last
miserable
week
on this bit. He's done that 3 weeks in a row, Roland.
Yeah. No,
well, just what we've done the other 2 weeks, Ed. What do you want to throw at me? Other than a boot.
Shit.
Okay, Wayne, I'm going to give you a question for this. What are your thoughts on the crowd specifically from Raw last night, or this week?
They've not had a good run of crowds for me recently. They've done the usual fucking say something's boring with CM Punk and then get all excited by the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Well, no, they done boring, sorry, and then went crazy by at the end of it to start a cheer. And I think that was the Brie Bella segment, if I remember rightly. So they're just such schizophrenic crowd. It's unreal.
Released from a hospital.
Okay, Abbott. Going forward then, if it's up to you, what would you do if you were in a crowd to try and get a better balance on things?
I wanted them to do what the rumour was, and that was start next year, do one in the Full Sail Arena. That'd be awesome as a one-off.
But if you were in that crowd on Monday night, what would you have done to try and improve the crowd reactions? What kind of chance would you have been going for?
It's not down to the crowd, really, is it? It's down to the WWE for putting the product on. If you can't get the crowd going, then...
Is that not worth discussing?
So I just think that's just been a couple of dull shows. And
so you think the crowd was...
show, then the crowd won't get going.
So basically you say the crowd was totally indicative of what they were putting on.
This week, yes.
Yeah.
Might not always be the case, like when it's in Green Bay, etc. But...
So where are the next week? Where's next week's show?
Oh, God.
Anyone? Someone quickly look that up. Because they're obviously trying to stack the show next week. We've got the cage match announced with Jericho and Wyatt, for example.
So that looks really, really good for next week. I really hope that
apart from Jerry fucking Springer.
Yeah, that bit is going to be sexual. Don't diss that bit. That bit's going to be sexual chocolate.
You're going to need a toilet break, aren't you? So.
I agree with Andy. I'm going to be watching that segment with my penis in my hand.
Everyone knows I hate the Bella sisters more than anything else, and they are sisters. But that bit, that segment,
well,
they're not twins. That segment is going to be absolutely sexual chocolate. I can't wait for that.
Of course, there's double the chance of having a nipple slip. Okay, Captain Awesome, any free chat you want to bring up this week? Any topics we've not covered on the show that you want to bring forward?
It's kind of rough because this week was really slow. Wasn't much going on. I'm excited about WCW Nitro being on the network. I want to go back and watch some of that. I'd say get well soon to Jake Roberts. But beyond that, yeah, nothing storyline-wise or anything really stuck out to me and just grabbed my attention this week. So I'm kind of blah with it all.
Are you looking forward to the Raw next week? Do you think it's going to be a better one?
It could. I'm not the biggest fan of cage matches. But you know, I mean, I always look forward to Raw. I mean, it has that potential of being the stop everything you're doing moment. So,
and what about Night of Champions? You look forward to that? Do you think the matches are stacking up well for that, or do you think they're going to be another average pay-per-view?
I am very intrigued by the main event to see how they play it out. I was so excited that they had Cena do the ultimate job. And I'm worried that that's going to be kind of washed away in part. But yeah, I mean, the rest of the stuff, I mean, it's nothing like, oh my God, this is the best pay-per-view ever. But it's certainly not one where I'm just going to watch it later. I mean, I'm going to watch it as it happens, definitely.
And just for the benefit of T-Mac, hopefully you'll have a listen to this. Give us some reasons why you should be watching TNA.
EC3, for one, is just on point. Firing James Storm is great. I liked their New York shows. I thought that's somewhere they should. Me and T-Mac had this idea that you go for a place for, you know, 4 to 6 months. And, you know, and I think even Dan the Cannon's mentioned this before, too. Then as it starts to wane off, you go to another place, man. You know, like just go set up shop somewhere because the crowd seems really into it and they're pushing the edges a little bit. They're getting a little more aggressive and getting more kind of hardcore. And I think just pick an avenue and go for it. And I said this on the Spanish announce table this week. That at least when Jeff Jarrett was there, you know, you can hate or like Jeff Jarrett for what you want. At least when he was in control, they had a direction. Ever since then, it was, well, let's try this. No, let's try this. Let's try this. And you lose interest. Absolutely. It seems like they've got an idea of a direction now, but you never can trust them. So I don't know, but I like it right now, and I definitely think it's some of the best it might have ever been, or certainly in years.
And what didn't help that whole process that they went through of trying different things was the fact that the viewer numbers never changed, really. And right. I think what was happening is they were bringing folk in and losing folk at the same time. So the balance to them, just like nothing was really changing. And it just meant they tried something different and tried something different again. A lot of rubbish at the best of times. What about the TV gold and, well, maybe bright pink and sometimes polka dots that is Rockstar Spud?
Rockstar Spud is awesome. That guy is great. Now, when you think of managers, he's not really doing the managerial role where you enhance the talent because they can't necessarily speak or something, but he just draws heat in a way that no one else can. I said this to T-Mac, I think maybe last episode, was that guy just, us hardcore wrestling fans like heels, and so it gets hard to actually boo the heel. Yeah. He's still a guy you want to boo because still in the back of your mind, you're like, I would hate this guy. I would want to punch this man in the face because he's just that weird. And you're just like, this guy is a total moron, but he is playing it perfectly.
You're talking about basically everyone from Birmingham.
He's great. Rockstar Spud. I think he's just cartoony enough too. I think he would transfer over to WWE well if everything were to go wrong and they were to take a couple guys. I think he'd be one that you'd have to look at. Just a heat magnet.
And it just goes back to what we've discussed many a time, is how much everybody shit on him when he first appeared. And then look how it's kind of progressed. It's an amazing progression that we've seen. And let's hope they can bring some more gems like that going forward. Rue, do you have any free chat you want to bring up this week?
No, not a lot going on.
What would you like to see going on? What are you missing from wrestling that you'd like to see brought back into play?
God. Just something that's... Well, no, we want something totally different, but... I know, I'm just not captivated on, like, TNA. That's why I've been out of it so much, but... Since you guys keep so eye on it, maybe I need to... Like I said, need to get back into it.
Absolutely. And what about the possibility of a return from Batista? Would you like to see that?
Nope.
Are you happy to see the back of Rob Van Dam?
I'm not really fussed on Rob Van Dam.
Well, it's looking like he's gone for a long time.
Rob Van Dam's not fussed about Rob Van Dam.
That's a valid point.
You basically don't even know that he's got a job. Like I reckon he just wakes up and from like the Tuesday after doing Raw, and he's thinking, what the fuck happened? Was I working? And it's like a lucid fucking dream.
To be honest, I didn't even know he'd gone. Frogs? So that's how much I care.
Frog splash? What the fuck?
Hey, where's Rob Van Dam from? Hey, Wayne, where's Rob Van Dam from?
Battle Creek, Michigan. God, didn't
yeah!
He's still not from Massachusetts.
Oh, God, don't start that.
I like the way LL even got that wrong. So, boom, Wayne, have that one.
Sorry, I just read.
Massachusetts.
That's LL. What I said. That's Make what it. I said.
No, you didn't.
Listen back.
We will. We shall.
You do that. And I'll hear your apology
again,
next week.
The Scotsman being illiterate or thingy, that's just nothing new.
Thingy. What's the thingy then?
Let's move on.
Right, have I missed anyone out in the free chat this week?
Yes, me.
Good. And on you go.
Right, I got a couple of things actually. Firstly, the main event with the predictable ending, I liked, but I didn't really like. But I liked the John Cena bit where he had he nicked the you can't see me banner off someone. And then went in the ring and then lifted it up and it said, tag me in sign. So he got it the wrong way round. I like that. That made me laugh. Also, there was I'm loving the Sandow being with The Miz at the moment. I think it gives him a little bit of onus. And I think that sort of I can see down the road Sandow turning on The Miz.
That was almost my one up this week. I liked the way they ended that match with
action.
Miz did come into the ring and then.
He gave a cryptic message on Twitter saying something like the Joker's always mid-card, but sometimes they have an ace in their sleeve and things like that. So it looks like a possible turn on The Miz down the road, maybe when Miz wins a championship, which really interests me. And lastly, I just wanted everyone's opinion on Sergeant Melendez. For me, please no, don't do this. WWE have been down that route. It's, oh man, I cringed through the whole segment. Maybe it's because I'm English and I'm not American, but I really did cringe watching TNA, watching that.
So let's take a moment. Let's think on this from the angle of we shit on things when we first see the concept and we don't really see where they're going with it and miss the chance of gold further down the line. What would make this better? What would you do to improve on it?
Where can it go? That would be my back question to you. Where can this go?
You don't answer the question with a question.
Of course you do.
You know within a matter, if it's not been recorded already, that he's going to be attacked with his leg. You know that's coming up.
Oh my God.
I've got an uncle with a false limb, and he was out one night, got very drunk and went home without it.
He was legless.
He was literally legless.
Maybe he can team up with Zach Gowen and they can have two working legs between them.
Yeah, man!
No, Sam Shaw needs to steal it.
Love that.
Carried around like a baby.
Where can you go with it? Obviously, this guy's a patriot. Blah, blah, blah. America. America, yeah.
Fuck but, yeah.
Yeah. So, you can't have the guy lose too much. Because he's America, yeah, yeah, America, yeah, fuck yeah. So you can't have him lose too much. So who attacks him? If you want to draw real heat, you get a really good heel to attack him.
James Storm and Sonata.
James Storm and wait, why don't you shut up a minute? Let me finish my point.
Because that's a sensible answer and you don't like it.
No, that was the point I was literally just about to say, you prick.
It was building suspense and you ruined it.
I was so you're building
suspense.
Well, don't phrase it as a question if you don't want to answer.
Oh, my God.
Fight.
Go on
fight.
Then, Wayne. Off you go.
Jerry.
I'll leave it to you, Wayne. Go on. You take the mantle as soon as you stole
Stop
it.
Growing up Belarus, growing up DSJMP.
Right, let's bring this back in. Ant, were you finishing your topics?
Yeah, I just wanted to know everyone else's thoughts on the Sergeant Chris Melendez sort of situation.
My only thing is, who was the last guy that played the soldier card with? What was his name?
Gunner?
No, before him, the guy that came in
Jesse
with
Neal.
Jesse Neal. And that got boring very, very, very quickly. So I just hope that, you know, they see something better with this and actually plan out a proper storyline they're going to play through properly and not just ditch it and pair him up with someone else with spiky hair for the sake of it. Like they did with Jesse Neal. That was an absolute shit progression when that happened. Anyone else want to contribute to that conversation? Wayne, maybe?
No, I've got to say, I'm not America. I don't normally like all the fuck yeah America stuff. But
funny that.
Even I was pulled in by their impact bit last week. I was even actually quite moved and got into it. So as long as they just treat him like a normal wrestler.
You was moved by it?
Yeah, didn't you get wrapped up in it? Obviously
no,
not.
Can you please elaborate? Because I'm lost here.
What? I felt like... Oh, for God's
you
sake.
You felt what? I don't know what you felt. Tell
I'm
me
going
what you feel.
We're going to have to get some counsellors in here.
I was just saying, I got into the segment and I was like, yeah, well done for making it. There we go.
Yeah, but why? Why do you feel it's necessary for TNA to do such a thing?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not normally into it. I thought they'd just done the segment well. I'm sorry if I enjoyed it. How dare I?
Okay, let's turn this around. Captain Awesome, right, from America yourself, do you think the way they're playing this is right? Should they be playing on the whole soldier angle or should they be doing something a bit more creative with them?
I think it's easy money. I mean, it's wrestling's always been of that demo in America. You're going to capture the fuck yeah America crowd.
Absolutely.
Or the NASCAR fans, as I like to call them. So, and I mean, I'm a, you know, United States military veteran myself. So, I mean, there was that connection, but I still don't get, you know, I don't do it just for the sake of it, you know? So it wasn't like, hey, here's a military veteran. I'm going to cheer this guy. I mean, it kind of reeks. With WWE and the Daniels, same thing, it kind of reeks of a publicity stunt.
Yeah, and for me, I think we're beyond the days of USA chants as well.
Yeah.
But played out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Same thing. It's when it's done just to do it, it loses its luster. When it's not organic. You know.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm just going to throw a last call out for any last topics anyone wants to bring out at this point. No.
Fuck you, America.
Fuck you. As long as you don't start joining the real Americans.
Hello, clan voice, put your hand up, you're answering me, the people.
If only I had my clip from this week handy.
That made me fucking die of laughter, that did, man, I swear. The same Football Manager, and I just hear that, and I was like, oh, you motherfucker. That was funny.
I got one last question.
On you go.
I just want to know what people's thoughts are on the Bo Dallas Swagger feud. I wrote it down because I do notes. Yes, of course. People. Richie, Angelo and Jennifer. Oh my God, that little segment was amazing. I don't know what everyone else thought of this. And where is it going, this Swagger and Bo Dallas feud?
I have to say, I didn't like it at first. Obviously happy to let it play out to see where it was going. I just felt it just seemed a bit shoving Bo Dallas in somewhere to see if it connected or not. And I'm actually starting to get interested in it now. So quite curious to see where they are going. And I think that the whole character of Bo Dallas is actually best suited in this position now compared to where he was. I was getting a bit bored of the whole cheesiness that he was playing out for a while.
Yeah, but the cheesiness was the streak though, wasn't it? That was the whole point of it.
Yeah.
But now he's sort of changed his character essentially after he's lost a match.
Which is
so
good.
Yeah, it's all character development. And I'm a massive fan of Bo Dallas. I don't know what everyone else thinks of Bo Dallas because I hear so many mixed reviews on him.
Yeah, I really like what he's doing. He's certainly shown a lot more than folk give him credit for, especially back when he debuted on NXT as well. I mean, you've got to bear in mind this guy, his wrestling career was almost over at one point, so he's certainly come a long, long way, and can only have a good long way to go if he keeps that up. As long as he keeps progressing and developing his character and showing new sides to him, then I'm happy for that to happen.
Yeah, and personally, I think that as long as his dad's in the position that he is in the WWE, obviously he's a backstage man, mm-hmm. I think there'll always be a spot for him. It's just where he fits in that sort of roster role.
Is that always necessarily the case, though?
What do you mean?
That just because dad's backstage and a hefty member of the crew, that you're going to have a nice, safe job.
Oh, LL. That is the nature of life, my friend.
Unfortunately, it's not always the case.
Isn't that the reason Curtis Axel kind of still there, even though his dad's dead? But, like, it's because everyone loved his dad, that's why, to be honest. You never hear a bad word anyone ever says about Kurt Hennig, so they've pretty much kept him there just for courtesy. Whatever. Don't have that awkward silence. I don't give a shit.
I'm not saying.
I just thought you had more to say.
I'm not saying Bo Dallas isn't good enough without his dad as a back in. I'm just saying it's always a cantilever to have that a fall back on, you know, if you fall through a hard sort of gimmick time. But I think he's absolutely fine at the moment. But there might
and I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's the first time the word cantilever has ever been used on any podcast in the world.
There you go. Cheers. I've literally just finished the first bottle of wine, so cheers.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it was a lovely Chateau Neuf de Pape, £19.99. £100 from your local store.
It's all Pape, really, isn't it?
It is.
On that, I'm not going to round off the show for this week. Thanks to everyone for being on. I'm going to give you all, as usual, a chance to say your goodbyes and punt your Twitter handle. And in the case of Captain Awesome, obviously, pimp his podcast if he wants to, too. So I'll start with you. Captain Awesome, thanks for being on.
Hey, this has been a blast, man. I've had a great time.
Good. Do you want to say your goodbyes to the world and drop your Twitter handle and obviously punt the Spanish Announce Table?
Yes, do listen to the Spanish Announce Table. We are on SpanishAnnounceTable.net and TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We are at Table Show. I'm at The Awesome Voice. Maybe if you're feeling, you know, charitable, you can follow at Titan T-Mac. But it's a great show. It's a funny show. We had a lot of you guys contribute also via email and tweet the table. So give it a listen. Tell us what you think. And this has been a blast, man. I like this show.
Absolutely great to have you on. And certainly I love a wee hashtag tweet the table here and there.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to many more of those segments in weeks to come. So thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Wayne is the Baker.
Yep, you can catch me on Twitter on @WaynesTheBaker and also the main show. Yes, the main show, DSJMP WrestleCast.
Did you just fucking say what I thought you said?
Bitch off.
What's wrong with you?
Wayne, get fucked back to America. What the fuck is up with you?
Yeah, we're going to start banning from this show, I think.
What the hell was that about?
Punk-ass fucking bitch.
Damn right.
Rue.
Yeah, this is Lady Rue, and you can find me on Twitter at Lady Rue Jess, and there's been way too much ugly on the WIR as of late.
Well, you need to get yourself back on then.
Oh, I will. Just you wait.
And
catch me at MC Vigilante, and if you can't spell Vigilante, don't follow me.
Pretty sure they won't. Walker.
Fuck. God, man. He sends a memo out saying don't bitch about each other and then hits me with that shit.
Oh, that was a little bit of fun, friendly comedy banter. Walker.
Follow my account at Justin Bieber. if you can't catch me on Twitter, it's probably because I'm doing something completely obnoxious or racist. So there, thank you.
Walker's mom.
that's a true story. And yeah, fuck you.
I just need to start following Walker's mom.
Oh, for fuck off! Fuck off, man. Leave my mom out of this.
Perfect way to end the show.
And one day I want Walker's dad on this podcast as well.
We ain't getting my dad on this podcast.
I want Walker's dad on. Anyway, thank you all for being on the show, guys. Really appreciate it. And Rue, thank you very much again for coming back on. Hope to have you on again very soon. Come back next week for another installment of The Second Shift. Don't forget to tune in to the allwrestling.com Week in Review, the Spanish Announce Table, the DSJMP Wrestlecast, and also the Tuts Experience as well. Thank you all for listening. I'm about to get out of here and start planning my next Bob call. Hashtag Bob. The living legend has now left the building.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
I'm going to leave that in.